Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Roundtable Ministries. And tonight we have our host, Cassie Toy, and my brother
praise
Robert.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise him, praise him. All right. We don't have Elder Lee this week, or do we have Minister Bernard? However, they will join us on our next broadcast. And for right now, it's just me and Pastor Toy holding it down.
Yeah, that's what we do. We're going to hold this thing down in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right, so what are we talking about tonight?
Okay. Tonight we are going to be talking about something that is very important to us as a whole. Or at least it should be important to us as a whole, and that is to ask the question, do you know what your children are doing? So we're going to be talking about parenting and children and child rearing and just a little bit of it all. But, you know, our topic reminds me of that old commercial that used to come on. Now, I know we're getting ready to show our age, but remember the commercial, Brother Rob, it would come on. It would be like, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
Yes, I do remember that commercial very well.
That's sort of like where I'm at with tonight's topic. It's like, if I had to do that same commercial, I would just change it a little bit because we're talking about in the spiritual realm. But I would have to say, it's the last day. Do you know what your children are doing?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. You know, and it's kind of funny, like in right now, what we're going through in COVID, it kind of puts me in the mind of, I really do know what my child is doing, because now, it's like actually they don't have like the little hangouts or the little things they do like before they come home from school, or the things they don't tell you that they did, or they fail to tell you some of the things that they did. It's like now, it's like you actually, by them being in close proximity, you actually get a chance to, learn their habits, and it's kind of funny. Even though I go to work, but when I come back home, it's more evident of me knowing exactly what they did the whole day than when it was before.
Right.
And I find that kind of funny, because now it seems like I'm more attentive and I can be more of a parent now than I was before, because I actually know what they do, and I can actually just tell just from, from where their, their position, I can tell if they haven't moved. And I can tell if, I have one grandson that, I have to basically drag into the bathtub to take a bath. And, so I can just tell immediately, exactly, what he's doing and what he's not doing. Exactly, As soon as I walk in the door, the second I walk in the door, I can tell. And, I know this is not much of a summer vacation for him, but, it's a lot of things I can just tell that's real, evident of what they're doing.
Right. And you know what? I like what you just said, because you said basically you can walk in the door and tell exactly what they've been doing based on where they are, how they're sitting, their posture, their position. You can tell if they've moved all day. You can just tell. And it's funny because when you look, listening to that statement, it makes me think scriptural and spiritual, because God is our Father. And Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. So he sees what is behind and what is ahead. He sees all the threats. He sees everything. But what we forget that he also sees is when he looks at us, he knows exactly what we've been doing.
Amen.
Even if we just sitting in church, you know, praising them. I call them secret sins that don't nobody know about but you and God, that when you get to the sanctuary, you want to act like you don't know nothing about it. But as his children, as soon as he looks at us, he knows what we've been doing, because number one, he was there with us while we were doing it.
Yes. You know, it's funny, you know, where, you know, just getting back to, you know, children, what they're doing. Now, when you're, you know, you're around them and you start to learn some of their tricks. You know, even though, we, you know, we've done things and, you know, we got away with it, and it seems, you know, how, you know, the more wiser we are, you know, that it seems like they have one better up on us. So now, there is an app they can get, and this is, you know, what they're not aware of, that I know. So now, if your grandson or any of your grandkids or, you know, or any of your children happen to be on a website that they're not supposed to be on, you know, there's a button they can push to just change the screen to something else.
Oh, wow.
And I was, yes. So I found this out by accident. And how I found this out is sometimes... Yes. Go ahead.
I have to ask a question real quick, though.
Okay, go ahead.
If the children are on a website, and it's inappropriate, there's a button you can push. Now, what if the website they're on is like via an app on their phone, like YouTube or something like that? Does it work on that also?
Okay, yes, it does. All right, so this is how the app works. All right, so the app, this is what they have the kids do. They have it on their phone where they can change the icon, but it's going to be the app. They just have to know where it's at. So it could look like Internet Explorer. It could look like, you know, anything. You can make it to anything. And, you know, what it does basically is just, you know, say, like, all of my grandkids are not allowed to get on TikTok. If they're looking at TikTok and I walk in the room, they can hit a button and it'll just change into another screen. But meanwhile, they're on an app. Yeah, right. So what I did was they were actually, you know, on it, and I just had opened up a closet. And, you know, I walked in the room, opened up a closet. Now, the closet had a mirror. And so what I was able to see was that he was changing the screen. And, you know, I let go. Right. And so when I questioned him, you know, he said, oh, you saw me? I said, yes, I did. And I told him, I said, well, what I want you to do is delete the app. And I said, you don't have to tell me what it is. Delete the app. So when I watched him delete it, he actually went to the Internet Explorer symbol, and he deleted it. And I said, why'd you delete that? And he said, well, when I downloaded it, he's like, once I download it, I can change it to any icon I want. And then he showed me where he switched screens, and he showed me where the Internet Explorer app was really at, and he showed me where that icon was, where he can just tap it and he can change the screen. Now, evidently, you can also do this on laptops and tablets.
Wow.
So, Yes. So, you know, as for, you know, us, you know, being one up there, like I said, I wouldn't. Go ahead.
I have another question. When they use this app to change the screen, does it erase the history? You understand what I mean? Like, although they changed the screen, does it erase the history of what they were actually watching?
That I'm not sure, but I'm quite sure it doesn't. It probably doesn't. It's just probably something to, you know, get it out of trouble right then and there.
Because
I don't
see,
think it's
and
right.
I'm gonna tell why I asked that question. I'm not the person that's going to go in and necessarily look to see what they're doing when they're doing it all the time. But I am the person that snatch every electronic in the house and go through everybody's history. And I'm just blessed that my grandchildren are at an age right now where they don't understand the history button.
Right.
Like, it's not something that they would go to. So that's why I said I have to, but they would understand about that app. So,
yes, they would.
That's why.
Yes, they would.
That's why I had to ask, because when my grandchildren get caught looking or playing games or something that they're not allowed to, or watching videos that are inappropriate for them, it's always because I go through that history. I go in and say, okay, what we've been doing. And then I also begin to block stuff. I'm saying that not to make it seem like I'm some perfect grandparent. No, I'm saying it to say parents, grandparents, y'all are the ones paying them bills. And even if you're not paying the bill for their phone or their laptop or their internet or whatever it is, they under your roof and you still feeding them, you still responsible for them. I don't care how old they are. You better start going through those electronic devices that your children have, games. With some games, PlayStation 4s, PSPs, Nintendo, all of them have history buttons where you can go through and search to see what that child was on.
Yes, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You know, and there's another thing that, you know, like the parental controls. Now, there's a way, and there's I've seen on the internet, there's a way that they can get around all those apps. So, you know, and I'm just saying, just as far as being a parent, just because you think you have set the parental controls does not mean that there's not ways to get around it. There's several ways that you can get around the parental apps. And one of them is that, you know, if you wanted to change the passcode, if you think you have, you know, changed the passcode or they don't know it, you know, they can hit all zeros and they can reset everything. And that's with most parental apps. You know, they ask you, you know, what's your passcode, and you can hit all zeros, and you're going to say the wrong passcode. And then what, you know, you don't know or you may not know is that they can hit all zeros again, and that actually resets the whole control panel, and then they can go ahead and either type in, you know, the original pass, you know, a password or their own password, and they can just change the whole sentence. And it's pretty much that simple.
Well, see, and that's good. Now I have to ask a question. If you have a mirroring app of some sort or program set up on that device, can it destroy that also? Can they get around that also?
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. And once again, it's just that simple. It's just going into the control panel, or, you know, basically the parental controls.
But don't tell them how to do it. I don't want no kids listening in, taking notes, talking about, oh, let me see. Purpose Kingdom is the bomb. They telling me how to get around my parental codes and stuff. Don't tell them how to do it. Just we need to know the fact that those apps and those codes and those videos are out there to show them how to do it.
Yes, they are, and just as well as I'm talking right now, you can go on the internet, you can go on, especially YouTube, and you can just type in how to bypass colds, and they have so many different young kids, and they are so like on point with their presentation of how to get by all this, all these things, and you know, basically they don't have to listen to me. They can probably just go Google it, and you know, they'll get the information they need to, you know, bypass, you know, a lot of things.
Oh wow.
You know, yeah, and you know, the whole problem is that, you know, if we understand how to have
something.
Yes.
I don't mean to cut you off, and I apologize humbly, but as you said it, you should go into the internet and just type in how to bypass code. So I did that, and I'm going to read you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The first 6 suggestions that popped up: how to bypass code generators on Facebook 2019, how to bypass codes on iPhone 6, how to bypass code generator on Facebook 2020. How to bypass codes on iPhone 7, how to bypass codes on Apple Watch. Like, they have a list of things.
Mm-hmm. And you have to understand, now that they're home and they're homebound, they have time on their hands, and this is all they have to do. This, I mean, you got kids all over, you know, the United States, and they're figuring things out, how to bypass this and get by that. You know, just remember, you know, they have nothing but time on their hands. So they have nothing to do but dedicate themselves on how to get past, you know, different things. And, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, so parents, we have to do what God's scripture says. We have to be in this situation as wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove. We need to start looking at these videos, how to bypass, so that when they reset, we can go right on and reset it again after we put them on punishment for thinking they were slick.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, Brother Robert. I'm sorry.
Yes, and you know, like I was saying, they have nothing but time on their hands. But this is where our job comes in, where we had to make sure we occupy their minds with something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though, you know, they're sort of on summer vacation, you know, there's certain things that we can also, where we can, instead of being, you know, counterproductive, we can have them be productive, you know, like, you know, one of the things I had got, and it's not going to work with everybody, but now I'm going old school. Now I'm going, you know, board games, and I'm going puzzles, you know, and puzzles, you know, is a great thing. And what I told them is, so you're not going to get it all in one day. And what I do is, that's a challenge. And, you know, by golly, you know, one of the kids, you know, they have gotten, you know, a puzzle. So now they are working on, I had to make sure I have a puzzle for them every day. It's pretty old school, but it's something, and it's a challenge. Because this is not, you know, something that deals with technology. This, you know, deals with memory. It deals with, you know, different placements. So, you know, they're intrigued. You know, their mind is intrigued. So, you know, I got one kid with the puzzle, and then, you know, another one with the board game. So, you know, like I said, we have to try a lot of different things, and it's basically hit or miss. But, you know, what we have to do is, we have to make sure that we have their mind intrigued, that we captivate their mind. And if we can't captivate their mind, then, you know, they will learn how to do different things, and, you know, especially things that we don't want them to do. You know, we have to make sure that, you know, we are, you know, proactive and not reactive. You know, when you become reactive all the time, they just, you know, thinking, oh, man, this is just a bummer. Every time I turn around, I'm doing something wrong. You know, just make sure you inject something in your life where, you know, they have that kind of passion, and, you know, they have, you know, their mind is captivated. You know, we just have to make sure we do that. And if we don't do that, you know, this is what some of the things that could happen, you know, or what it can,
you know, gravitate to. You know what I like that
said?
You sort of took the time to find what each of them were interested in. And like that's where we as parents have to step up at. And I'm guilty of it sometimes too, as a grandparent, because it's easier just to give them the electronics and to allow them to occupy their own mind. But what he said was, we have to occupy their mind.
Right.
We have to be cognitive of what is going into their head. Because at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is, for some parents, they are just really meeting their children for the first time. The child that they saw from the time they went to school to the time they, you know, when they, from the child that they knew when they got home from school to the time that they went back to school, and the child that everybody else knew all day long when they were out of your view.
Right.
Now you're getting to see them because they're there all the time. So they, you know what I mean? So even if it was all peaches and creams in the beginning, now you're getting to meet your child. You're getting to see what they're really interested in. You're getting to see what they really want to talk about, what they're really into, if you're paying attention to your child.
Right.
Like, I pray that during this COVID shutdown, even as things are opening up and then shutting back down and opening up and shutting back down, I pray that in the midst of this, you are taking this opportunity to get to know your family. To get to know your children, especially those who are under the same roof with you.
That's right. I mean, that you said it perfectly. You know, like getting to know them.
Because
you know it's kind of strange that you know you say to yourself, well, you know, we've been living together for all this time, but that's all we've been doing is just, you know, living together. Not even knowing, you know, knowing each other, not even, you know, or sitting in one place, you know, for a meal or at least something, or just have a family discussion. You know, I know that, you know, we all have, you know, time constraints. You know, some people have to work 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day. But the whole thing about family is always finding, you know, time or having a common time where, you know, we get together or we just talk about things. You know, and when we get away from that, then it becomes the norm that we don't have that discussion or we don't have that talk or we just don't have that time togetherness. So it's like we're programmed now to just, you know, be in the same, we could be in the same room, but everybody's on cell phones, or, you know, we could be just rooms apart or just one room away. And, you know, instead of coming to see somebody, we might text somebody and be like, hey, what are you doing? Or something like that. And he was like, wow. I was like, you could just, you know, get up and just walk and say that to me, you know, or you could just come see what I'm doing, you know? And some, you know, some households, this is before COVID, but I'm quite sure it probably goes on. It's like somebody's upstairs and somebody's downstairs. You can yell down the stairs and say, hey, I need you or something. But I see people pick up a cell phone and call somebody with another cell phone in the same household. And I was like, wow, that is crazy. But then, you know, you come to find out that now that's commonplace. Which, you know, it's kind of ridiculous. You know, and there is a time, you know, that, you know, my wife said in our household where, though, you know, it's all, you know, cell phones off, you know, and that's just it. You know, Sundays, you know, we've had, you know, no electronics for a couple hours. And, you know, at first, you know, it was kind of funny because that was the only time that I ever thought that I had need to check my phone. And I was like, why do I have to check my phone? And I said, on top of that, is it because my wife said, you know, that's it, no cell phones? So you have to understand, and I totally understand this, that the whole concept is, you know, it's become foreign now for us to be either without our cell phones or not having them in use. And it's kind of crazy because they have all kinds of different apps on there where it does keep you intrigued, or, you know, if you don't have a certain game on there, you know, there might be a little trivia thing there. there's always something on the phone just to keep you on your phone. And you have to, you know, I guess you have to train your brain to just break out of it. Because, you know, if not, we're going to be constantly, you know, be this, you know, we're social beings, but we're being social with our phones instead of just being social, period. And, you know, that's, you know, basically.
Right. We're not having direct interactions anymore. We're interacting via the internet, social media, chat rooms, things of that nature. And as you said, this has been going on, parts of this have been going on well before COVID-19 and the shutdown.
Yes, yes. And it seems like, I guess they're perfectly fine with this, but, you know, that's not the norm. And you know, this, you know, this COVID-19 is supposed to be temporary, or so we think. You know, the one thing that I do know about the COVID-19, which, you know, they're not telling us, either they don't know or they just not telling us, is that with the growing cases in this country, and this is the only country now that still have hotbeds, you know, even though there's some third world countries that didn't have any problems, you know, all of a sudden they're starting to pop up with problems. And it's, you know, like Donald Trump said, he was like, you know, we need to keep all these people out. But the problem is that we're the problem. If you want to know, like, he has a list of banned countries. You know how many countries are not letting American citizens in?
I was getting ready to 70, say that. Like, I understand 70, his statement about we need to stop letting people in. That's how come it's spreading here. No, people are not letting us in.
Exactly.
People,
you know,
are not letting us in because of COVID-19 and because of the fact that we still have cases on the rise. We still have a death toll that's on the rise. And the sad part is, and I don't know if it's out of arrogance, I don't know if it's out of just politics, but when other countries have thus far offered to help, our president has turned down their offer of help.
Yes, he did. And, you know, the one thing about, you know, this administration right here is that, you know, when they lie, they stand by their lies. And the funny thing about it is, you know, everybody that started out with, you know, Trump, except for a handful of people, they all went to jail. And, you know, it's kind of funny. You know, they all, you know, we always judge everybody with the company we keep. And the company he kept is a bunch of criminals, basically. And so I'm not surprised, you know, the way he acts, and, you know, he's the president, and everybody knows that you can't put it in jail and sit in prison. So I'm just wondering, and, you know, just for giggles, just to see what happens, you know, once he's out of office with all this, you know, all the prosecutors, you know, that, you know, try to build a case against him. Will they all of a sudden jump up and say, okay, now we're ready to go ahead and get him? Or are they just going to let it, you know, die down? You know, but like I said, you know, time will tell.
I have a twofold thought on that.
Okay.
My first thought is, like, in my mind, every prosecutor that wants to make a name for themselves is going to, in one way or another, jump on the "he's no longer president, now we can get him" train. Has he done stuff that deserves for him to get gotten? Yes, he has. I'm sorry. I know that doesn't sit well with a lot of people. I'm sorry. That is my personal opinion. On the other hand, my question that's a little funny is this. if they do get him, he was, no matter how good or how bad he was a sitting president. And you know that one president, a president always has a Secret Service detail. So now my question is, if they go and get him and he gets convicted of his crimes and locked up, are they going to assign Secret Service to go with him to jail to protect him?
No.
Because after all, he still was a president. I'm just asking, you know.
Right.
I can't.
All right, so
although common sense would say, no, they would not do that with this current administration and some of his backers. You never know what they might try to do, but go ahead, explain what you were saying.
All right. So what the Secret Service does is, if they're not, they basically provide, you know, protection for like past presidents, whether it's President Obama, President Carter, and so on. So what they do basically, if they're not in a protected environment, they make sure they handle that protection. So in jail, that's a closed situation. So the moment he goes to jail, he gets processed. So basically what they're doing is they're handing over the duties to, you know, that particular jail or that particular, you know, place that he's going in. Now,
so then
the only thing
– set up some guard.
Right. So basically the way the Secret Service works is – and the reason why, you know, they are assigned to be with them at all times for protection – but say if you're, you know, you're President Barack Obama and you want to have a private vacation, you can ditch the Secret Service. But it's just that you're basically on your own, and it's just that, you know, they're not there to protect you. However, you're required to have your own private, you know, to hire your own private security that they approve of.
Right. Well, And I know that sounds funny. It's like a funny type of a statement or question, whichever way you look at it. But to be real honest, if they were to lock him up, they're going to put him in a federal prison, not upstate somewhere. You know what I mean? And
federal prisons
have different types of criminals. And the reason they assign Secret Service people to ex-presidents is because they have some information that common Americans don't have, that people could get out of them.
Right.
So to put
this probably
in a federal prison.
This is what would probably happen if he goes into a federal prison, is immediately he'd be placed in protective custody. He'd be watched, you know, 24/7, you know, doing whatever time he would have to serve. And, you know, as far as where someone actually gets near him, I highly doubt that anybody would be near him at any time he'll be in prison.
That's true.
You know,
we would hope. But again, y'all know, everyone, y'all know me. I look at every angle of everything. So I just,
well, you know,
I just
there
have
is
to...
There is some concerns, because there is the Epstein incident where, you know, he was in protective custody and he wound up dead. So, you know, we would,
right.
Know, I'm just putting it out there. So.
Right. So, things happen, is all I'm saying. But we're not saying that we wish things to happen. We're not putting it out that we want things to happen. We're just saying that the truth of the matter is things happen. And as everybody is looking at putting him in prison for this, that, or the other, for the crimes he has committed against humanity and the United States of America as he was sitting as president, should he be held accountable for them? Yes. However, we got to look at the bigger picture at what risk that puts us in as a country.
Right.
So, that's why that's why, again, although the way I'm phrasing the questions are funny, these are thoughts that real people have to deal with when they consider
right.
prosecuting him for the things that he's done. Because, again, federal prisons don't have the people in it that, I mean, you know, you do have some of what they call federal crimes, but he was the president. He going to a federal prison where there's some big folk that was involved in some really deep stuff.
Yeah.
And based on his character as he's sitting as president, I can't trust it if he go to jail and run into Big Bubba from another country that they got locked up in a federal prison somewhere. That's all I'm saying.
I got your point. I definitely got your point. You know, it is kind of ironic how you said, you know, he'll be in jail with a lot of, you know, big names. And it's funny, all his buddies are, you know, in jail. And, you know, he's out, you know, free for right now. But that would be funny if he would run into, you know, some of his former associates, you know. But you know, the one thing that I do know that would be really funny, that if he were to go to jail, and let's say there was a real, well, Area 51 or whatever happens, he would just spill the beans. And the funny thing about it is nobody probably would believe him because all of the stuff he would just tweet on Twitter. And it was like, oh, no, he's just kidding.
This is cool. This is true.
So that would be funny.
He has just put so many different tweets and craziness up that it. You know, I can't help to do nothing but to pray for the man. That's all I can do. That's all I suggest
right.
anybody do is just pray for the man, because it's some people. all you can do is pray for him. And you know, and I know
right.
I just heard it in my, somebody's like, pray for him. Pray for what? Pray God's mercy upon them. Because God is going to deal
yeah.
with them at some point.
Yes.
You know, I don't care what it looks like. There is a reckoning day that every man has to go and deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not passing judgment because I don't have a heaven or hell to put nobody in. All I'm saying is from the fruit that I have seen drop from his tree, he got a lot of rotten fruit that them fell. Because of that,
he's
going to have to give account. And because
yes.
of his, and here's the deeper part, he doesn't just have rotten fruit that have fallen from him. That's why we got to be careful of what we do, especially when we're in leadership. Because he has led a lot of people astray.
Yes. Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
Go ahead. It's all about that tongue. He didn't just he talked too much.
Yes, he does.
I had the benefit of watching Hamilton, the play. And if you've never seen it, whether you go to, well, you can't go see it in a theater right now, but if you can get the chance to see it, you should really look at Hamilton. It, when I say this is one of the hottest things I have seen, I love Hamilton, but it is this one scene where Mr. Burr, I can't remember his first name, says to Alexander Hamilton when he first meets him, smile more and talk less.
Mm.
I pray somebody's
wow.
in this part, even if you just this not me saying it, I'm just saying what they said in the play to Alexander Hamilton, and when it finally kicked in for him, he skyrocketed in his career. Somebody needs to tell Trump
wow.
he needs to smile more and talk less. And
wow.
when we say talk less, I mean tweeting, texting, emailing, everything. Smile more, talk less. Because every time
well,
he opens his mouth, he sort to show us who he is.
It was something funny I heard about about him, and I think he was going off about TikTok. And I thought it was kind of funny how he was, you know, how he said that, you know, they were basically he was just saying that they were how did he say it? That they basically shouldn't be a country. Whatever country that TikTok originated from, which I believe it was China. Now he was saying like, I don't think that they should be able to have, you know, on, you know, from Americans, any of the videos and stuff like that, or, you know, possessing the rights of that or whatever, and kind of ruined the, you know, the plans that I think it was Apple or was it Microsoft? Microsoft, one of them was trying to buy TikTok, and that kind of fell through with him, you know, just interfering, just, you know, putting his two cents into it. But I thought that was kind of funny because, you know, he actually just, you know, just blew apart the deal that, you know, they were working so hard to get. And
there
it kind of reminds, you know, remind me, you said, yeah, this is my more. Yeah, go ahead.
There are a lot of apps that people use on their phones that were originated in China. Some you can tell based on their fine print writing, and some you don't. You'll never know unless some reason you got to look up that company. But
right. There's
a lot of them. I have no proof of this. This is just my personal opinion based on the fruits I have seen fall from this man's tree. This is just my personal opinion. The reason he does not like TikTok is because lately them young folks been putting up some really hilarious videos of him. They have been catching him at some really awkward moments and in some really awkward positions now. These are everyday positions. People walk up and down steps every day. The wind blows every day. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
If you have a speed shutter, something that can just like click every second versus just taking that one picture, and a lot of smartphones have them now, you can still mode a person walking up the steps. So if it looks like they bend over a little, you're going to catch that. And if it's awkward, you can blow it up. You can play with it. You can magnify stuff. And unfortunately, you know, our young folk have been having fun with our president. Now, the truth of the matter is, why have they been having so much fun with our president? Because he gives them so much good material.
That's right. That's right.
Now, I know for somebody that wants to say, well, that's the president, and they should respect the president. I'm just going to say real quick, I didn't hear nobody saying that when our young folk was having fun with Obama. Because all of the stuff, most of the stuff they put up about Obama was cool, but not all of it.
Right.
But now, because it's Trump, it's the problem. And again, he gives so much good material. Like,
you know,
if the wind blows real hard and your hair blows up, and you have a machine that can make it blow up further and look like a toupee, and that's what they did. He was giving them, while he was making a weird face as he was talking, like he gives them good material. I'm starving. It's not right.
I agree.
Our president, not right. I'm just saying he does give them good material. That's why we should watch how we conduct ourselves.
Right. And, you know, here's one of the things that that I understand, because a lot of people where they feel as though they're not affected by it until they're actually affected by it, then that's when they have a problem with it. Now, like you said, you know, when we had President Obama and, you know, they were just constantly ridiculing him, and not only him, his wife.
And now, you know, now that we're talking about Trump, what's the problem? Oh, he's got fair game. That's the president. That's disrespectful. But when was it disrespectful for President Barack? You know, and constantly attacking him. And they were attacking his wife whenever, you know, she wore a dress or whatever. Oh, her back is too open. You know, oh man, why? What is she doing? You know, it was just, you know, so many different levels that they attacked him, you know, and it just wasn't fair.
It's funny that I never, those same people that we would hear attacking First Lady Michelle Obama, we never hear saying anything about our current First Lady.
Well, I heard one thing, and it was how she stole Michelle Obama's speech, you know, and then, you know, said, she never heard her speech. But that was the end of, you know, hearing about her. You know, it's just kind of funny. But just real briefly, we have the call of salvation. So would you like to get the call of salvation tonight?
Sure. You know, this evening, we have just been talking about things that are currently going on around us, things with our children, things with our current political situation and our governmental leadership in higher places. We've just been talking about all of the craziness that has been going on around us. But if you notice, every now and then I would tell you something that God's word said that would deal with that situation, that would deal with whatever we were talking about, how I spoke about how God's eyes are everywhere, how he sees all, how he knows all, how we talked about how God tells us in his word that we need to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Well, the only way you can grasp a true understanding of that is to get into a personal relationship. See, right now, for somebody, those scriptures you may have heard me say, they really don't mean much to you. But there's a scripture that I want you to hold on to. God said in his word, he offers you, Lord, give me the word. Pepsi used to have something called the Pepsi Challenge. And basically what they would do was they would put a Pepsi up against Coke and other sodas, and they would tell you how 9 times out of 10 or however many times that they would choose to drink the Pepsi. Well, God offers you something similar to that Pepsi challenge. He offers it to you in Psalms 34:8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. But he said, taste and see. Taste means come try me out. Because if you come try me out, you will see just how good I am, and you'll want to stay here. Taste and see can make you look at everything going on around you with a different pair of eyes, from a different perspective. When you taste and see, you stop looking at it from the perspective of only you. And you start looking at it from the perspective of God and God's will, not just for you, but for mankind. How do you taste and see? You accept the gift that he gave to us. God's word tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. The first thing I want you to see is that it said God so loves the world, and because he loved the world, he gave to the world. And what did he give? he gave of himself. Isa, Yeshua, Jesus, the God-man, the Christ, the Messiah. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. That was the gift that God gave. And then in the flesh, the Word of God teaches us that the flesh that we call Isa, Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, the God-man, the Messiah, the gift that he gave us in the flesh was his very life. He shed his blood for us. And then the gift that he gave us through his death was the resurrection. Hallelujah, God. But he also said that he gave his only son, and he said he didn't just give it. Yeah, some people say, oh, he just died for the Israelites, or he just died for this group, or he just died for that part. No, the Word of God said, whosoever believes in him. Whosoever is a clause that I love because it covers anybody and everybody, anybody's circumstance or situation, your economic situation, your racial situation, your cultural situation. Whosoever covers anything, whosoever covers any sin you may have committed through A to Z, from adultery to zealousness, it covers it all. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Hallelujah, God. And it tells you that you show that you believe in him. It says if you believe it in your heart and confess it out of your mouth, then you shall be saved. And what is it that you are believing in your heart? That he is the Son of God, and that he died for your sins, and more importantly, that he rose again. And you can do it by simply saying these words after me. You just say, Father God, I come to you this evening accepting the gift of your son. I come under the whosoever clause, believing in your son Jesus, asking him to come into my life, asking him to forgive me of my sins, asking him to begin right this second, making me new in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you said that prayer, you just tell somebody. You don't have to wait until Sunday worship or Sabbath school, Bible study, prayer service. That's all about a membership. We're talking about a personal relationship. Just tell somebody. If you're listening, you can dial in at 319-527-6091. Or 323-870-4174, push 1. And you don't even have to say your name. Just say, hey, I wanted to let you know I gave my life to Christ. If there's somebody in the house with you, you can let them know. If you got somebody you can call on the phone, call them up and let them know. If you can't do none of that, go outside, stand and scream at the top of your lungs, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. However you choose to do it according to God's word, you are saved. And we welcome you to the kingdom of God. Now, of course, we do encourage you to find the membership. We encourage you to find the Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until then, bless God. That's why he has Purpose Kingdom Networks here just for you. Brother Rob, can you give them information on how to follow us and who they can call in to listen to tomorrow?
Yes, no problem. This is a product of this Kingdom Network, and real quickly, I'll go ahead and do the announcements. If you want to contact us via email, you can contact us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can also let us know you bring your life over to Christ. We greatly appreciate that. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And don't forget to, share with a friend. Tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour, God's blessing. We hope you join us for DTW Ministries, hosted by Reverend Aaron Williams.
And once again, well, guys, we want God's blessing. We hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for DTW Ministries, hosted by Reverend Aaron Williams. Anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. You can simply type in the host name or the show name, hit that show in its entirety at your convenience, and we greatly appreciate you for listening and sharing. And as always, no matter where you're at in the world, listening to us, we thank you for your support here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Whether you're calling and listening online or you're calling via phone, we thank you so much. And with that being said, that's the end of the announcements, and we're going to go ahead and resume the program tonight. And I hope we're done talking about Trump.
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was like, ah, man, why are we spending so much time on this guy? But, you know, just like, you know, anything else, you know, as far as talking about children and modern to them, you know, it takes a effort, really, to, you know, spend time, you know, with your children and, you know, basically just knowing, you know, what they do and when they're doing it and how they're doing it. You know, it's not being a spy or being, you know, a big brother or anything like that. It's just basically, you know, you actually care. You know, if you're actually doing, you know, some of these things, you know, constantly, you know, monitoring them or browbeating them. Like I said, you know, you want to make sure you keep them encouraged, because if you can't, you know, the children encouraged, you know, like I said, their mindset, and they have to constantly be an activity for them. And if it's not that way, you know, you have to make sure that you have to, you know, separate them. And I'm not saying put a wedge between, you know, some of their social media or their games and stuff like that. I'm saying make it an extension. Make it, you know, part of an activity, you know, and also let them know, it's like, hey, I know you like to do this, but hey, guess what? We can schedule it this way. We can break it down. Hey, no more than 2 hours on this, or no more than 1 hour, or whatever the time, you know, the time constraints may be. But it's, you know, you have to be proactive and, you know, do something instead of being reactive. And, you know, that's basically what I, you know, wanted to say.
You know, I have to give credit where credit is due, because well before COVID-19, Sister Adrian had been saying the same thing. We got to start basically parenting, because that's all it is. We got to start parenting. Like you said, it at the end of the day, you are not supposed to be your child's friend.
Right.
You cannot be their friend. You have to check on what they're doing. You have to monitor what they're doing. He just listed 3 different ways earlier in the show that children are using to get around parental control, to be able to make it look like they're on one thing when they're really on something else. And then he told us how they're learning how to do it. So now as parents, we need to get on YouTube and look at these videos. And then we need to go check our children's electronic devices. And here goes the thing. While people are sitting there thinking, oh, I would never break my child's privacy, what I need you to know is everybody your child is talking to is not another child. There are predators out there pretending to be children on the internet, getting children to give them information, and then they're going and snatching children or hurting children or, God forbid, whatever. We have to be mindful of what our children are allowing to get placed in their spirit, who we're allowing our children to talk to, because at the end of the day, they're still just children. I don't care how disrespectful they may get. I don't care how sassy they may be. I don't care. They're still just children.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to monitor it. And we can't look at it from the viewpoint of, well, you know, when I was a child, my mother never did this to me. You stop lying to yourself. You didn't have all the stuff when you was a child that these children got today. My children are in their 30s. Before them, it was beepers and two-way pagers.
Mm-hmm.
Cell phones became big when my children were children. That's
mm-hmm.
when everybody started trying to get a cell phone. And at that point, you couldn't even get on the internet real good with a cell phone. You can make a phone call and play that one little snake game where the little square moved up and around and you try not to get hit or run into the wall. That
mm-hmm.
was it. So truthfully, no. All we had to do was hit your call log. We could tell who you was talking to. Y'all couldn't get on the internet. Y'all didn't have social media out there like these children have today. There are more ways in for predators if we as parents aren't looking. And it doesn't mean we're going to catch everything. Because as he said, they literally have YouTube videos telling them how to get around it. So now we have to be precautious. We got to watch some
yes.
same videos and protect our children.
Amen.
That's all I gotta say about that. We gotta watch it and protect it.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So
and
I guess we're gonna wrap up tonight's show. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. One more thing. God just said it as I was sort of sitting back, going, I was done. God said, no, you're not. Because you know what else we gotta start doing that I don't see people or hear people doing a lot. We also got to start praying over our children. We got to start covering our children. Like
yes.
you talked about how to cover them on the internet, but now we need to cover them spiritually because they are seeing all types of things.
Yes.
So we have to remember to pray for our children. Pray God's protection.
That's right.
Pray God's covering.
That's
now
right.
That's all that I have to say about that.
All right. So tonight, you know, like I said, you know, we just really want to make sure that, you know, that you're well informed and that you know, like, some of the things that, you know, just because, you know, I do things a certain way or Pastor Toy does things a certain way, you know, we're all different, but as long as we have a favorable outcome for our children, you know, no matter what works. You know, as long as it works. And we just want to make sure, you know, like I said, that just the information that we're giving and, you know, we're passing along, it's just, you know, for our own benefit. It's not that, you know, as a parent or, you know, or a grandparent or, you know, whatever you're doing. It's not that you're doing something wrong. It's just, hey, sometimes everybody has a, you know, they overlook something or they might not be looking in the right direction. And like I said, we just want to make sure that you're well informed. You know, and I'm just going to go ahead and sign off. Pastor Toy, you're finished, or you want to say something, one more thing, or just say good night?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise
Amen.
We'll see y'all tomorrow evening.
Amen. All right, good night, everybody.
Jesus led. He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.